Alrighty. If you have been with us over these last 5 weeks, you'll know that we have been tracking through a short sermon series as we think about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What are I always forget the word. What's the indispensable? That's it. I stuffed that up last night too. What are the indispensable marks of what it means to love and follow Jesus? Because it's our prayer and our hope that these marks would mark us as followers of Jesus and as a church. And so we want to be a people who are deep in the Word, who know God's Word, who love His Word. We want to be a people who love God, our affections for Him are being stirred. We don't just want to know things about Him, we want to know Him and love Him. We want to be a people on mission, right? We know Jesus and make Him known where we are. And we do so, as we looked at last week, in community. Our lives knit together. The beautiful kind of gospel community that Christ has won us to. And today we're going to look at our fifth and final part in our series, that we're a people who serve one another. And I was thinking about it earlier in the week, and I have no idea if this picture, this analogy works, because quite evidently, I am not a nutritionist. I'm not a dietitian. But I was thinking, you know, we can have in our diet, maybe someone who is actually knows this stuff can confirm this with me later. But you know, we can have our protein levels right. We can get just the right amount of carbs in our diet. We can have, you know, the good kind of fats that we're meant to have, and avoid the bad stuff, but if we're like dangerously low on like something like vitamin C, if you're not getting enough orange juice in your diet, like there's still a risk you can get scurvy. Like you can have all these, yeah, so it works. I think that works, right? We can have you know, what's the good if you're dominating your proteins, but you still end up with scurvy? And I think that's a maybe helpful way to think about these five indispensable marks of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We don't want to just be people who might just be dominating it in one area to the neglect of other areas. That's still going to end up with the same result, a kind of malnourished form of discipleship. And so I hope you've been encouraged, you've been challenged as we've been thinking about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so again, this morning we're going to think about what it means to serve one another. To serve one another. So let me pray for us this morning. Lord, we love You. We thank You that You are a God who has made Yourself known to us through Your Word. Would You help us now to behold wondrous things from Your Word? May we see and savor Christ, our servant King, afresh this morning. Amen. Let me paint a little bit of a picture for you. Maybe you can resonate with this, maybe you won't. But it's Thursday. The week's not over, but already it has worn you down. It's then that you remember that you're serving at church this weekend. And without even trying, you can think of a number of things you'd rather be doing. And for the briefest of moments, you think to yourself, do I even need to be there? I mean, it's not even that big of a deal, right? I probably won't even be missed. I mean, it's not like what I'm doing is that important. I mean, I'm not preaching or leading singing or anything like that. Plus, can't someone else just do it? I mean, we're a big church after all. You feel the tug of frustration, but you quickly bury those thoughts. Because you know you should serve. You know you need to, because after all, that's what good Christians do, right? Well, now it's Sunday, you're still tired, but you come. And you serve faithfully. You did what you were meant to do, and you did it well. And you're pleased. Then you stop and think, no one seemed to notice. No one acknowledged what you did. And again, there's that familiar sting of frustration. But you know it's not really about that. You know you should be joyful in your service, but you still can't help feeling somewhat deflated as you hop into your car and think, did any of it even matter? Now, whether you can relate to that or not, I think it does raise some important questions as we think about serving in the church. When there are countless things that you can give your time over to, when life is busy, why serve? For the follower of Jesus, what place does serving in the church have in our lives? Why do we serve? What's the right motivation that fuels our serving? Would it matter if I didn't serve my church, especially in a church our size? And when I do serve, like, does what I do even make a difference? Why serve? Well, to think about that this morning, let's turn to John 13. And if you have your Bibles with you, open up to John 13. We're not going to go exactly line by line, but I'm just going to highlight a few things here. Here we are, John 13, we're in Jesus's final moments. Jesus knew the ordeal that was about to befall him. And have a look in verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew, that's important, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Let's just pause there for a moment. That is profound. You see, in just a matter of hours from this moment, Jesus would leave this room with his friends, with his disciples. He would leave this meal. He would agonize in Gethsemane alone. He would be betrayed by one of his own. He would be arrested, tried, mocked, belittled, crucified. Yet not even that ordeal that would lay before him could stop him from loving his own to the end. Jesus always loves his own. And he loves them to the end. Let's keep going. Have a look at verse 3. Jesus knew, there it is again, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And then in verse 4, so. Now let's just pause there for a moment. Jesus knew. Jesus knew he would be the crucified, resurrected, ascended, reigning King of glory. Jesus knew all power, all dominion, all glory, all authority was his. So, and how would you finish that sentence? Jesus knew, so. Maybe knowing Judas was in the room, knowing that Judas was hell-bent on betraying Jesus. Maybe we might expect Jesus knew, so he put Judas in his place. He showed Judas an unrivaled and unparalleled display of his power, of his glory, of his authority. He could have done that, but that's not what we see, do we? Jesus knew, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Friends, the soon to be crucified, resurrected, ascended, reigning King of glory here takes the mantle, the form, the position, the status of a servant. That's profound. I'm not sure washing someone's feet would be a desired job even today, let alone back here in a world where roads were dirty, dusty, dungy. To wash someone's feet was no desired task. This was the work of a servant. And in fact, many Jewish rabbis believed that not even Jewish servants should be given this task. That's how lowly this was. And so this picture, what we see here in John 13, that should give us pause for consideration. Let's think about it. The one to whom every knee in heaven and on earth will one day bow before, knelt down and washed his disciples' feet. The one whose hands, who flung the stars into the cosmos. The one whose hands would soon be pierced upon a cross wiped the muck and the mire off of the feet of those he loved. Friends, the most glorious man who ever lived, the supreme and exalted King of glory here occupies the lowest rung on the ladder. It's no wonder Peter protests. I mean, he's embarrassed. Luke tells us they've just been caught up in an argument amongst themselves about who was the greatest among them. Like, that's what's going on with the disciples. Peter protests, the master does not wash the feet of the disciple. So we see in verse 6, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Verse 8, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you can have no part with me. Jesus' response shows us that clearly there is more going on here than just washing feet. What we've got here is a demonstration, a living parable of who Jesus is and what he has come to do. He's the one who in Mark 10:45 said, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. He's the one who in Philippians 2, verse 6 to 8, laid aside his divine right as the King of glory. And Paul writes, he took the form of a servant. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Here in this room with his disciples, as he washes his disciples' feet, Jesus shows us who he is and what he has come to do. Jesus points us to an even greater servant work, the cleansing of our sin-stained hearts and the forgiveness of sin. That's a servant work he would accomplish in just a matter of hours as he hung on a cross. And this is what this is pointing to. Again, he's showing us who he is, what he's come to do. And friends, this is where we must begin. When we think about serving, when we think about serving one another and serving in the church, we do not begin with ourselves. We begin with Jesus. We begin with the Lord of glory who became the servant of sinners. And that's important because, friends, the gospel isn't that we are accepted by Jesus because of what we do for him. That's not the gospel. The gospel is about what he has done for us. Our lives aren't to be measured. Our Christian lives are not to be measured by our service of him, but by his service of us. As one author puts it, Jesus' greatness is not that he can command the service of millions, it is that he serves millions. Friends, we need a servant king. We need a savior. We need someone who can do what no one else can do, to wash our sin-stained hearts. And in Jesus, the Lord of glory, becomes the servant of sinners. He becomes the servant of you and me. And so that's actually the most important question I can ask any of us here this morning. It is not, are you serving? It is, have you been served? Have you been served by Jesus? Have you been washed thoroughly by his once and for all death upon a cross? Have you received the forgiveness of sins that is in him alone by faith? Is he your servant king? The Christian life and Christian service, it is all about him. Who he is, what he has done. It's what he's showing his disciples, and it's what he's showing us here in this room. And having served his own, it is then and only then that Jesus calls his followers to do likewise. Have a look with me at verses 12 through 14. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Here's the point. Because Jesus first served us, we now gladly serve others. Because Jesus first served us, we now serve others. And again, Jesus is not calling us to something he was not willing to do for us. I think that's important. This whole scene playing out before us is, you know, one of the questions we should ask is, is this how we love one another? Is this how we serve others? Because Jesus first served us, we serve others. In fact, I'm going to push it even further. Our understanding and our appreciation of what Jesus has done and the depth of our love for him, it will be revealed to the extent that we are willing to love and serve others. Say that again. Our understanding and appreciation of what Jesus has done and the depth of our love for him, it will be revealed to the extent that we are willing to love and serve others. Because that is true. It is our calling as followers of Jesus to see how, where, and to whom we can serve. Part of what it means to follow Jesus, to see how, where, and to whom we can serve. So as we think about serving at ABC, and if you're a guest here, we welcome you, and you know, we hope and pray that this is something you can take to your own church family. But as we think about serving here at ABC, it's our desire that we would see an ever-increasing number of followers of Jesus growing in glad, sacrificial, loving service of one another. That's our hope and our prayer. Because of who he is, because of what he's done, and what he now calls his followers to, we want to be a people marked by our service of one another. We want to be a people who serve in and through the ministries of ABC. And now, when I talk about serving, it might be helpful to actually define what I'm talking about. I simply mean putting others' needs above your own. That's fundamentally what serving is. It is putting others' needs above that of your own. What the Bible is calling us to is a willingness to inconvenience ourselves for the sake of others. And what the Bible is calling us to is that we might use our time and our giftings to love and serve others for the sake of others, for the sake of knowing Jesus and making him known. Now, that is going to cut across the grain of our radically individualistic culture. Like, we live in a world where there is more choice than ever, endless choices and on demand when I want it and I get it. And yet, amidst that, Christ calls us to and compels us to willingly, joyfully, sacrificially serve one another. So it's the outworking of John 15, 13. Greater love has none than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, I do need to put a caveat or two in here. Now, I think these are really important caveats, because perhaps you're in a season where you need ministering to. Maybe you're just beat down, burnt out, weighed down by all kinds of realities of living this side of heaven. If that's where you find yourself, I just want you to hear me say, my hope and prayer is that ABC would be a place where you are loved and served with no strings attached. Let's pray that ABC would be a place where you can be lovingly and joyfully served, where you can experience the kind of love and gospel culture that Christ has won us to. Or perhaps you're in a season where serving, like, I think we can just run to our minds, okay, he's talking about formal church ministries and ministry teams and rosters and Elvanta and all that. Now, that's an important part of what we do, but that's not all there is. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But maybe you're just in a season where serving just looks different. Maybe you're looking after a loved one. Maybe you're a mum at home. Maybe you're looking after a parent in their old age, a spouse. Look, just because you may not be on a serve team or rostered on Elvanto, that doesn't mean you aren't necessarily living this out. There are important caveats to put in here. But ordinarily, for the follower of Jesus Christ, our disposition is our instinct should be to love and serve others. In whatever way you can, in whatever stage of your walk with him, with whatever you have got, whether that is little or that is much, the call to follow Christ is the call to love and serve others. It's not an optional add-on for the elite Christians. Again, what it means to belong to and follow Christ is to see how, where, and to whom we can serve. So I just want to give us three words of encouragement as we think about serving at ABC. Number one is to remember Jesus. To remember Jesus. Just in case you've missed the memo by this point in the sermon, remember Jesus. Again, the gospel is not that you serve Jesus, it is that he serves you. He did not come to be served by you. He came to serve you. But here's the thing. When we grasp that, that actually frees us up to serve harder, longer, and more joyful than we ever could otherwise. Actually frees us to love and to serve others. And maybe you're struggling in ministry. Maybe you're frustrated, perhaps weary, struggling to find joy in serving or the thought of serving others. Friends, look to Jesus. Look to the King who became a servant for you. He served us on the cross, and he serves us now as the reigning King. His is a love that frees us to love and to serve others. So remember Jesus. Number two is to take hold of the opportunity. Again, for the follower of Jesus, serving, it is an obligation, but it's an opportunity. An opportunity. To serve is an opportunity to walk in obedience to Christ. Christ, he says, to follow me is to pick up your cross, to deny yourself and daily follow me. Part of that is dying to ourselves. It's living for a new kingdom, not just having his kingdom as a tack on to the kingdoms that we build for ourselves. We don't get to do that. So actually stepping into that willingness to inconvenience myself for the sake of others, it's an opportunity to walk in obedience to Christ. And it's an opportunity to grow in our Christ-likeness. You know, we're never more like Christ than when we love and serve others. It's what he did in his final hours on earth. To love and serve his own, having loved them to the end. When we serve others, it is God-like and it is glorious. To serve is an opportunity to be part of what God is doing. Again, this is what this is all about. This is why we serve. This is why our rosters and our ministry teams exist. To know Jesus and make him known. And when we serve, we take part in that bigger story of Christ making himself known and seeing the gospel proclaimed and extend to our city and beyond. Again, the end is not that you plug a gap in a roster. The end is not so you can say, okay, I'm good, I'm on two ministry teams, three ministry, whatever. No, the end is to know Jesus and make him known. So if you call ABC your home and you're not currently serving in or through ABC, I just want to invite you to step into that opportunity, to follow Jesus through serving one another. And here's the thing, you can do something. When we think about ministries at ABC, now there are some ministries that will require some level of gifting and confidence. I mean, there is a reason that a yell will turn off my mic when we worship Jesus through song for the edification of the body. We don't want to be hearing my voice. I don't have that gifting. I'm confident, but I just don't have the gifting. Now, spiritual gifts, that's another conversation for another day. But for the most part, many of our ministries, comfort, passion, gifting, and confidence aren't actually necessarily prerequisites for serving. Let me explain it this way. Like, I'm not particularly confident when it comes to unblocking toilets. I would not say it's a passion of mine. I wouldn't even say I have the spiritual gift of unblocking toilets. Yet I've done it. I'll likely need to do it again. Why? Because that's what my family needed of me. And it's the same when it comes to our family here at ABC. There are needs. There are needs. And there are a ton of ways you can make a difference in the life of this church. And here's the thing, maybe actually through meeting those needs, you'll actually learn and discover what your passions and what your giftings actually are. And so really practically, just again, if you're not on a serve team and you think you can be, and if ABC is your home, I just want to invite you, come and have a chat. You can go through our app under Get Connected. There's a form there, and you can see all the ways that you can serve in ABC. We'll have hard copies of those available as well. But let's chat. Let's help find a place that's the right fit for you as you step into the opportunity that Christ has for you. And listen, maybe there are legitimate reasons that you can't commit to a serve team, and there are plenty of legitimate reasons. But there are plenty of ways that you can put the needs of others above that of your own. Just think about it, in our desire to be a welcoming church, why not come early so you can be on the lookout for new people, to sit alongside them, to bring them into your conversation, to invite them into your homes. You might not be able to commit to a serve team. What about coming early to pray? Like we've got people like, if you can ever be in that prayer room on Sunday mornings. Like there's just people there that like that's their ministry to our church. And probably got every good excuse to not come, and yet there they'll be week in, week out, just praying faithfully. See, there are just so many intangibles, so many ways that we can actually live this out. So I don't want you to hear me just going, okay, he's plugging rosters. That's not what I'm going after here. You know, we have one older man, he's well into retirement, and he's just come alongside one of our young blokes from a single parent home, and he'll take him fishing and invite him into his home. And he's going, like, now you're not going to see that as a formal ministry, you're not going to see that on our website, but and he found a need and he's making a difference. So many ways that we can actually live this out. So this leads me to my final word of encouragement. Serving matters. Serving matters. Every bit of it matters. Some of you know this because I've called you out on this before, but if you really want to upset me, say something like, oh, I'm just on creche, or I'm just on welcoming, or I'm just in the kitchen. That's like saying, oh, Jesus just washed his disciples' feet, as if it was unimportant and there's just more important things that can be done. No, serving matters, every bit of it. Remember the words of Jesus, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Everything matters in the economy of Jesus, in the kingdom of Jesus. Every greeting, every table set up, every note practiced and played, every word spoken, every home opened, every meal prepared, every plate washed, every coffee poured, every toddler, kid or youth loved, and on and on and on I could go. It all matters, every bit of it. Why? Well, let me finish with these words from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, it'll be up on the screen. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. Why? Why serve? Why does serving matter? Well, here it is. So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. That's our desire as a church. That's our hope and prayer. So that in all things, God might be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our servant King, that you have served us and continue to do so. Thank you that you have washed our sin-stained hearts. Help us to be a people who love as you have loved us, who serve as you have served us. Help us to live this out for your beautiful name. Amen.